My sweetest friends, we are continuing our lecture, if you may call it that, on the Holy Beis Israel. The previous talk, we learned a little bit of his history, some interesting stories about him, and we will continue. This was told by Rav Shmuel Mordechai Mintz. He relates that he personally knew the Baal HaMaisa that we're about to tell. A chassid who was a very distinguished, honorable person, an elderly man, needed in his old age the support of his family. And the Rebbe wanted to help him, the Heilige Beis Yisrael wanted to help him. And among other things, he sent a request to one of the people in the family, this elderly man, that he should set aside every month 50 lirot, which was an exceptionally large amount of money in those days. The person didn't have such a great cheshek to do as he was asked, and he procrastinated. On Shabbos before the Tish, the Rebbe would walk around the Beis Medrash, and he would look around at the different people. And when he saw that person, he said to him, "You don't know? I can take 50 and I can make it into 5,000, and I could take 5,000 and I can make it into 50. But it didn't help. On Sunday, the Baal Maisa relates, who was a businessman, "Every business that I had in my hand failed. Everything I came close to fell. My wife could no longer remain silent. She told me to go to the Rebbe and tell him that I'm a kabbalah upon myself to support this elderly man with the sum of money that the Rebbe asked. So I did, and I saw that my business went up again." How much Musar Haskel there is in this story, how much the Rebbe worried about others, and one is Tzadikim, Ruach HaKodesh, and the Koach of Tzad, the Tzadik, that nature is in his hands. Again, the following story is told by Rav Shmuel Mordechai Mintz. During the Sinai campaign, 1956, something very unpleasant happened, and the Rebbe called me to find out who was guilty in this episode. I answered that the person who's guilty is now at the front lines. He's fighting. He's in the war. And I don't want to give his name because I don't want him to be harmed. The Rebbe didn't ask again. Some time passed. He called me and he pointed to a person from his window and he said, "You worried about his life? Look, he's buried for Shalom, he's completely healthy." In other words, he really didn't need Rav Mintz to tell him who it was, he knew on his own. Beruach Kodesh. Another story that Rav Mintz tells, a certain person told him that his daughter became the age to get married, and she got older and older, and they weren't matzliach to find a shidduch for her. "Many times I told the Beis Yisrael my tzar, but it didn't help. One time I decided, he gave my mat nafesh, it's been too much already. I'm going to go into him, and I'm not going to leave until I get a promise out of him. I enter his room, and before I manage to say a word, the Rebbe approaches me, hands are open, and he says, 'What do you want? That your daughter should be a kala? She's going to be a kala.' And that's exactly what happened after a very short period of time. Another few maisim that Rav Mintz tells, one of the elderly chassidim was sitting in the Beis Medrash after Mariv, Lil Shabbos Kodesh, and was learning. Suddenly the Rebbe comes out of his room and he turns to him with the question, "Was Vilster, what do you want?" And the chassid said, "My son-in-law is sitting here in the Beis Medrash and years he's waiting for a child and he doesn't have." And the Rebbe said, "Ja, farvos nicht? Yeah, why not? Bei mir, das ist a kleinigkeit. For me, this is a small matter." After the young man had a child, his elderly father-in-law came in, the Rebbe, and he had a bottle of flesh levine for L'chaim, and he had a request. I should see children from this child. He wanted to live long enough that he should see this child's children. The Rebbe said, Ya, farvosnish? Yeah, why not? Taka, so it was. This elderly man was sandik at the bris of his great-grandson. Two businessmen, one of them was my relative, asked, says Rav Mintz, asked the Beis Yisrael about a certain partnership that was offered to them in the business of buying ovens. The business of buying heaters. The Rebbe said, yeah, it's kedai. There's going to be a lot of snow, and all of the heaters are going to be sold. I didn't hear the end of this story, but I can imagine that there was a lot of snow that winter and all the heaters were sold. I used to work at a certain place, and I became friendly with one of the workers that was not a Ger Chassid. After many years, I went into the Rebbe about a certain private matter, and the Rebbe took out of his drawer a letter, and that person signed on the letter, and he showed me the letter. And in this letter, this person spilled fire and brimstone on his brother-in-law that, in his opinion, wasn't acting properly in his house. And it caused a lot of tension. You know him? The Rebbe asked. I said, yeah, I know him. I even worked with him. It's interesting that outside there were dozens of people and the Rebbe only asked me if I know him. Tell him that he is a din of Mevazeh Chaveiro Bifnei Talmud Chacham, and even if I'm not a Talmud Chacham, but the Olam thinks I'm a Talmud Chacham, and you're not allowed to write letters like this to me. Well, La'etzem Ha'inyan, I want you to go to the house of the person we're speaking about and check what we can do. It would appear to me that it's not so bad and we can fix it in a short period of time. I answered that I'm a young man and he's much older and there's no chance that he'll listen to me. If so, asked the Rebbe, what do you suggest? I suggested that one of the Choshev Hasidim should get involved and try to make things right in this person's house. I assume it was a Shalom Bais issue. He said, yeah, but he's too tamim. Be bekesher with me and be bekesher with him and tell him what to do. That was the Rebbe's Eitzah. One Shabbos, my mother wasn't feeling well. And when we were taking care of her, we heard how she was upset at her doctor, who, in her opinion, did not properly diagnose her problem, and therefore she's suffering. When I saw how much she's suffering, I went to the Beis Medrash, and I waited for the Rebbe to wash his hands for Shal Shittes. When the Rebbe saw me, he asked me what I wanted. I told him, my mother's not feeling good. The Rebbe answered me. Is she going to listen to me? She holds that there's nobody else other than her grandfather. Because this woman was the granddaughter of the Heiliger Tzaddik, Reb Shlomo Mizvil. I said, no, she'll listen. Azoi, said the Rebbe, yeah. And if I tell her that she should go to a certain doctor, Dr. Proper, she'll go to him? I said, yeah. The Rebbe said, that you say, go ask her. I went. And on the way, I asked my father to tell her that she should listen, and she listened. And on Shabbos, when we separated, the Rebbe said to me, your father's going to pass by here, and I'll already tell him what to do. Lamaisa, the Rebbe didn't tell him to go to Dr. Proper. He said as follows, the Rebbeinu Shlom is the best doctor, and he didn't add anything. He just wanted to show that in order to get benefit from the Rebbe, you have to bend. Not only that, there was a shtickle Ruach HaKodesh in this story, because this woman didn't think Dr. Proper was a good doctor. And the Rebbe knew that, even though he hadn't been told. And that's why he dafka said the name of this doctor, who he knew the woman didn't feel was a good doctor. Even though we can assume Dr. Proper was a great doctor, but she didn't think he was. So you see the Ruach HaKodesh and the Koach of the Rebbe. You want a Yeshua, you have to be mitkofef, you have to bend. The Rebbe used to make high demands of Hasidim, but yet he would always warn, lo la'asot nochmachen, don't just copy. He was very dovuk bekotsk, and they said he was a real kotzker, such a sharp person, the Rebbe. Once a bacher who went off the derech, and the Rebbe said, you know, he went off the derech because he went after his demyonis. He thought that he's copying Kotzk, but he really wasn't. Rabbi Chassid Rabbunim Levin, Hashem Yishmer V'Yechayel, tells the following story. It happened one of the Leilos Shabbos. I was waiting outside of the Rebbe's room, and I was waiting to be called in. And the Seder was that the Mashbak, the Mishamish B'Kodesh, goes out, comes back in, and tells the Rebbe who's waiting outside. This time when the Shamish said my name, the Rebbe said, ah, Bunim didn't come in today. During the Suda, the Shamish went outside and he said to the Rebbe, I'm waiting. And the Rebbe said, I already told you, Bunim is not coming in today. Third time, he raised his voice. He said, I already told you twice, Bunim's not coming in today. In the end, I was called in. And I'll never forget, everybody looked at me with these scary looks. They said, "Ooh, what Bunim is about to get." But the Rebbe looked at me and he said, "Bunim, you know, everybody heard how I said not to bring you in. And I told you to come in. I wanted to teach you something very big. There's no concept of a situation that can't be changed. Every situation in life can be changed. Wow." Said three times he's not coming in. And then he said, but he can come in, teach him a lesson that everything in life can be changed. When I was a young boy, says Rabbunim, I was once at the Suda Shabbos with the Rebbe, and they brought to the table a plate, and there were special payers, and the Rebbe took a spoon from two of them, and I stood on the side and I wanted to get Shirayim. The Rebbe called me and gave them into my hands and he said, ah, Bunim, the taiva brent. Is your taiva burning? He's a very sharp man, the Beis Yisrael. Beis Yisrael also had a very big ayin tovi, and midas tovas meod. He used to work hard to get people to have midas tovas. And to look with a positive perspective, with a positive eye on others. Bunim tells that in one of the tishes, he was standing, Mulpanei HaKodesh, he was in the shur, and the bachurim standing in a line to look at the Rebbe. There was a big tumult amongst those standing there. And the Rebbe said, who's speaking? Who's speaking over there? I didn't answer, and the Rebbe said, tell me who's interrupting? Am I talking to you or am I talking to the pillar? He didn't answer him. And the Rebbe started to scream at him. And he ran away. On Sunday he came back to chap a psak from the Rebbe to get his nazifa. And the Rebbe said, I don't understand, where's your derech eretz? I asked you a question. I answered, but I didn't want to say I didn't want to say who was interrupting. The Rebbe heard this and was makabel. I once heard an explanation of the Gemara from the Rebbe, Shuv Maisav Rebbe Lezer Sheyard Lefnei HaTeva. It was the Maisav Rebbe Eliezer, that he was Chazin, and he said 24 brachas, and he wasn't answered. There was no rain. Rebbe Kiva came after him, and he said, Avinu Malkeinu, Elenu Melech Alata. The only God we have is you, Avinu Malkeinu. Leman Charachem Aleinu, for your sake, have mercy on us. And it started to rain. So they saw that Rabbi Akiva, the Chachamim saw Rabbi Akiva, was answered, and Rabbi Eliezer wasn't. A baskel came out. Said, it's not that Rabbi Akiva was greater, but he's Mavir al Midosav, and he's not Mavir al Midosav. Rabbi Akiva's Mavir al Midosav, Rabbi Eliezer's not, and that's why Rabbi Akiva was answered. The Frech the Rebbe. Is Rabbi Eliezer wasn't Mavir al Midosav? Could that be? No. Rabbi Akiva was a Baal Tshuva. And when they were, people hurt his feelings, he felt offended, but he was Misgaber and he was Mavir al Midosav. Rabbi Eliezer was so big that when they laughed at him, they didn't realize they were laughing at him. He thought that they were smiling at him. When they smacked him, he felt that they were caressing him. When they spit on him, he just felt that it was raining. He didn't feel pagiya. And therefore, he didn't have to be Ma'avir al Midosav. So that's a high madrega that a person doesn't even have to feel he's Ma'avir al Midosav. Nobody here offended me in the first place. Some people walk around, he offended me, he offended me, she offended me. The high madrega is not even to feel it. Rav Moshe Ludmir Shlita tells the following story that happened to him. You can ask him next time you meet him. The year was 1957, Tavshin Yud Zayin, the Rebbe of the Bais Yisrael was in Tzfas. And I traveled there, and I didn't find a place to stay. I was very tired, I was very hungry. It's a long trip. And the Mishamish, the Gabbai, brought me from the Rebbe's house a Gansa Suda, Chala, Mitfish, Kol Tuf. I didn't want to accept it. And I said, Chosignov is even in the Rebbe's house. Who gave you rishus to give? He said, all right, then I have to tell you. The Rebbe once told me you should know that Achnasas Orchem isn't Pashut. It's not an easy thing to take a whole meal that was prepared for you and for the family members and then to give it to some strange person that just by chance came to your home. The Eitza is, and this is what I do in my house, I mafkir everything for the Orchem. Any Jew who comes can take from the kitchen food and drink, whatever he finds, give it to anyone he wants. Everything for the aniyim and for the orchim. Mufkor, like the house of Yov ben Tzriya, like it's in Sanhedrin 49a, Midbar Mufkor lekol af pesach shel Yov ben. Yov Mufkor lekol, his house is Mufkor for everybody. I'm Mafkir. You can give everything to the orchim. And if you learn in my house to be Machnes Orchim, you'll be able to do it in your house. Rabbunim tells that one time he made somebody in the family feel that he's more chashuv by the Rebbe. The person went and told the Rebbe what I'd said, and the punishment didn't wait. For 8 weeks I didn't even get to see his door. The Rebbe didn't like when you made other people feel bad. Maisim of Ruach HaKodesh, he saw by the Rebbe every day, all the time. Rav Yaakov Meir Alter relates that one Erev Shabbos, a telegram is the olden days. Today we don't need them anymore, but the olden days they would send telegrams. You want to send a message very quickly. From the Pittsburgh Rebbe from America, that on Motzei Shabbos, he's going with his son, Rebbe Ephraim Shraga, to Eretz Yisrael. And he asked for the bracha from the Rebbe. And Motzei Shabbos, Rabbi Yaakov Meir accompanied the Rebbe on his walk. He told him about this telegram. The Rebbe said, the Pittsburgher Rebbe is coming alone. And he said, no. It says in the postcard, that it says in the telegram that he's coming with his son. But I'm telling you, the Bais Yisrael said that he's coming alone. And Winnem Levin says, I saw the telegram that it said that he's coming with his son. And then the Rebbe said, I don't only see until Paris, I can also see till New York. And of course, in the end, the Pittsburgher Rebbe came alone. There was a certain Jew who was a chassid, who had to go on business to Turkey. When he was in Istanbul, the guy who he was going to meet with told him that he wants to have a business meeting in a restaurant. So if that's the way it was, the businessman asked the local Rav if there's a kosher restaurant. And the Rav told him how to get to the kosher restaurant. And he said that for security reasons, it doesn't look like it's kosher. And therefore I have to be careful not to go into the treif restaurants that are nearby. They met in the restaurant, and after the meal, the businessman felt something here is not right. And then he realized that he made a mistake in the address. Rachmana Litzlan, he ate treifus. He started to cry. He came out fainted. He didn't care about the business, and he just came back to Eretz Yisrael. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he pashut couldn't go back to the Rebbe to get shalom. How could he show himself b'fnei HaKodesh? A few weeks passed, there was nothing to do. No choice. He went to Yerushalayim for Shabbos. And he made it his business to stand in the second line for Shalom Nem and to take Shalom from the Rebbe, which the Rebbe usually did much quicker. And he passed by the Rebbe, and that was it. Nothing out of the ordinary happened. The next morning, when they had the Afsaka during davening, they have Afsaka before Musaf. The Rebbe sent somebody to ask this person where he ate when he was in Turkey. The second he heard that question, this man, he jumped as if he had been bitten by a snake, and he ran outside. A week later, the Rebbe was nifter. Ve'eini tani yodei adma, sara later Rebunim Levin. Imagine the Rebbe sitting in Eretz Yisrael, and he knows where this man ate in Turkey. The story is told by Rav Yaakov Meir Alter, the Ben Bechor of Bnei Menachem. He's part of the story. He was an aide himself. Reuben Aronovitz traveled to England to collect money for Yichud Mostos Gur, for the Gerer institutions. In London, they told him that there's a very rich Chiloni person, a secular person, who has a Chassidish lineage named Wolf. Maybe he should visit him. So Reuven went to him, and he found a person that's in a house that looked very distant from any Yiddishkeit. When he heard that it's for Moses Gur, he gave on the spot 100,000 lirot sterling, which was a tremendous sum of money. Reuven could not hold himself back, and he wanted to find out, who is this guy? Where does he come from? And he said, listen, let me tell you my story. I'm from Wroclaw in Poland. When I was young, I was considered a very choshev bocher in Torah and Tefillah and Chassidus. When I would come to Gur, the Emre Emes would grab my two hands and he would ask how I'm doing, which is very, very rare for the Emre Emes. And the whole Shabbos, the Emre Emes was makariv me in extraordinary ways. I was considered such a chashev bocher. And one time I had a cheshek to learn a very chashev yeshiva, not like the regular yeshiva that my friends learned in. And the Emre Emes answered with one word, "I." So, of course, I accepted his negative answer, and I went home. Half a year later, Nachamol, I had a tshuka to go to yeshiva. I asked his rishus, And the Rebbe said, no, it's not for you, that yeshiva. But I went to one of the chashuv yeshivas. I just stepped into this yeshiva and I already felt it. A new spirit has come upon me. And all of my innocence disappeared, and now there are new spirits. And I went far away from my original matzav that I was in before spiritually. However, for Yom Kippur, I decided to travel to the Rebbe. And the second I came in, I saw the Rebbe doesn't relate to me like he used to. He gave me a cold hand, didn't pay any attention to me. Between Mincha and Neila, there was a hafsaka for a few minutes. And I was called into the Rebbe, and the Rebbe sat there, his facing the wall. Next to him was the Bais Yisrael. The Emeritus didn't say anything, but his son said to me, "Volv, Volv, you think we don't know anything? Here we know everything. Just give us a handshake that you're going to blab a yid, you're going to remain a Jew." And I gave him a handshake, I'm going to remain a Jew. No. I asked Reb Ruvain, who was shocked, how are you over on this handshake? You promised them you remain a yid, look at you. "Well, you see, I didn't convert to Christianity," the Jew answered. "And why did you come to the new Rebbe in Yerushalayim?" Reb Ruvain asked him. "I was there twice, and I asked him if he remembers. And the Rebbe said he doesn't remember anything." "If so," said Reb Ruvain, "I have to ask the Rebbe, Rishus, if I'm allowed to be mekabel the donation of a Jew's Machal Shabbos before Hesia." When he came back to Eretz Yisrael, Reb Ruvain went to the Bais Yisrael and he told him the whole Maisa. The Rebbe banged on the table and he said, "You think I don't remember? Find out who he married and send the check back." Ruvain went to a house, or one of the few homes back then that had a telephone. He called London. He was Mavarer. And who this man married, it turns out he was taka married to a non-Jewish woman, and the check was sent back. Oof. Relates Rabbi Yaakov Meir Alter that I heard many times from my grandmother, the Rebbetzin Fega Mincha, who was the second wife of the Imre Emes, that the Sfas Emes was by nature a very mesudah de gemensh, and the Beis Yisrael is very similar to him in this way. He was very makbid on Shemir Sestarim. And the kollel that he had in his Beis Medrash. The previous stories were from Brunim Levin, and this is from Rabbi Yaakov Meir Alter. And the kollel that he had in his Beis Medrash, he was very makbid on an avreich, any kollel man, any younger man that came late. He would stand by the door of the Beis Medrash, and he would point to the clock, and he would ask the man why he came late. The Avreich, why he came late. He used to tell that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman had a son when he was learning far away from his home, and they went to ask the Chafetz Chaim. He asked the Chafetz Chaim, "Should you go to the bris or not?" The Chafetz Chaim says, "You can make a shliach on the milo. What's the problem? Why do you have to travel? Stay here. Let somebody else do it." The Beis Yisrael said, "If this would happen in Gur, Vald Gur Zich Ibergedreit." Gur would be a storm. It would be a big storm in Gur. Somebody didn't come back for a bris, but the Rebbe wanted to show what the koch of Asmada. This is a maisa that Mori Rabbi Shlita tells. The Rebbe used to be in touch with a boy from Lakewood, and he sent him a letter and he said that he has a friend who's having a Rurei Kfirah. He doesn't know what to do. He's thinking of becoming a Christian. So he told the Rebbe, "Take out a Gemara Masecha Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yates Amud Beis." At the Gemara, he opened it up, and the Beis Yisrael said to him, "Read this line. Amr Rishuben Levi Kolono Amen Yehesh Merabu V'chol Kolcho Koron Lo Gzardino. You say Amen Yehesh Merabu with all your koch, they rip up your Gzardin. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if you have a Shemet Shel Avodah Zarah, Mochlum Lo. Even if you have a Avodah Zarah, you're forgiven. What do you see in this Maimer Chazal? The Rebbe asked the Talmud Rebbe. The Talmud Rebbe said, I see that. Wow. Even if you're Ovid of a Zarah, Kadosh Baruch Hu will be Mochel you. You say, Amen Yesh Merab Uchel Kocho. The Bais Yisrael said, I see something else. I see that there could be a Metzias where a person says, Amen Yesh Merab Uchel Kocho, and he has Machshavas of Kfir. You tell this person to just keep learning and davening, ignore it, it'll go away. Taka Kachava. And he said, Amen Yehesh Merabu B'chol Kocho. And he ended up becoming a Talmud Chacham. And the problem disappeared. It could be a Amen Yehesh Merabu B'chol Kocho and still I'll be a bit of a desire shtickle. Don't worry about the Machshavas of Kfir, you just keep doing your Avodah. So we have a lot more to tell about the Heilige Rebbe, and the Mirtz Hashem, I hope to do that in the next talk. Shalom, shalom, sweetest and most beloved friends.